Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Carrie Dominguez. Carrie's the chair of the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. Carrie, at the last break, we were just talking about the management styles, and I'm curious, what's it like to lead and manage an organization that has a lot of public scrutiny?
Obviously, we're an adjudicatory agency. We have a person that comes and files a complaint against an employer. And so our responsibility is to go out and investigate those allegations. And because of the nature of our business, we have stakeholders or constituency groups, if you will, that constantly monitor every decision, every case that we take to litigation. So we have stakeholders, for example, the NAACP, Mexican American Legal Defense Fund, on the one hand, representing the interests of groups of citizens and working men and women. On the other hand, we also have the employer community, and we have the practitioners within the employer community. We also have Congress. If they don't like what we're doing at any particular point, or if they get too many letters from any of these groups, I'll get invited over there for a little visit. And so we do have just about every segment of our society, from the workers all the way up to the legislators, that keep a close tabs on what we do and how we do it. And it's a very visible agency. We're constantly being studied and lots of press articles and all kinds of things. So we have to make sure that we're constantly communicating and explaining. Communications is key, explaining to all of our constituencies why we're doing what we do and why we think it makes sense, and inviting them to come and help us in the development of public policy.
Over the years, what type of complaints has the EEOC dealt with?
We have had a fairly consistent pattern of charge activity. About 35% of most of our charge activity, we get about 84,000 charges a year. It hovers around that number. And the majority of the charges, about 35%, are race-related charges. About 30% are gender discrimination, 20% age, 20% disability, which are two of the fastest-growing segments of our workload, 10% national origin, which also took a spike after September the 11th, along with religious discrimination, which we get about 1 to 2% of charges a year. And that's been a consistent trend since the inception of the commission. We're getting a lot of charges of individuals over 50 who are alleging that they're being restructured out of their positions. And again, with more religious diversity, we've had more religious discrimination charges. So it's an interesting blend of issues and an interesting trend that we're seeing. But by far, race and gender lead the way.
How many people work for the commission, and what type of skills do they have?
We have about a third. We have about 2,800 employees. At the moment, we have 51 district area local offices, including Puerto Rico. About a third of our employee base is made up of attorneys. We have a very vibrant general counsel's office. We have regional attorneys, and they're the ones that take the cases forth. We file anywhere between 300 to 400 lawsuits a year. And again, I said we get 82,000 or so charges, so that's not a whole lot of cases that we actually take to court to litigate. Most of our cases end up being settled prior to going into court, so there's a lot of conciliation and mediation efforts that take place. So about a third are attorneys, and then we have mediators, we have investigators, we have analysts, we have a couple of psychologists to look at trends and make sure that the validation of tests and those kinds of things. Oftentimes, employers will administer a test, and then they have to be validated to make sure that they don't have an adverse impact or that affect one group of workers differently than others, discriminatorily.
I initially thought the EEOC dealt primarily with large businesses, but in doing research for our conversation, I learned that there are a lot of activities going on with small businesses and underrepresented or underserved communities. Could you tell us about that outreach activity?
Certainly. I think that if you look back at the trends, a lot of the major employers that were the recipient of commissioners' charges and lawsuits, and for the most part, the Fortune 500-type employers, have developed pretty good, sophisticated HR programs and practices and policies that keep them and their workforce pretty well informed of what their responsibilities are. Where we're finding the greatest number of charge activity coming from are, as you mentioned, Paul, mid-size and small-size employers, and particularly some of the areas with little sophistication. For example, we had a major lawsuit last year, $47 million settlement. This company had no HR, no human resources operations. They had no outside counsel. And this particular employer decided he did not want women working in his company. So all of a sudden, all these women queued up to our offices. And we're seeing that a lot of it has to do with the lack of understanding and application of sound HR policies and programs. So our biggest outreach efforts right now are with mid and small size employers and with underserved communities like agriculture, farming. We've had a number of issues with undocumented workers and the migrant communities. So we're still seeing some of our more vulnerable segments of the workforce being preyed upon. And so that's where we think that a lot of our work needs to continue to be focused on. These are individuals that have limited education, limited skills. Oftentimes, English is a second language, but they're very critical components of our workforce because they take on the jobs that very few others want to take on, service workers and laborers and unskilled workers. So that is a huge segment of our workforce, workload, and we need to continue to have extensive and aggressive outreach efforts directed at that community. The typical profile of a charging party, a person that comes to file a complaint, is someone is a kind of a hourly wage earner, someone who has limited education, somebody who just can't pick up and go to get hired by the competitor because they have very limited opportunities. And then we find that there are three industries that take up the bulk of our attention: retail, because of the labor-intensive nature of the work; food service, fast food service and that type of thing, and hospitality, housekeeping, and those types of jobs. A lot of those types of industries and industries related to the three I mentioned really make up the bulk of our work.
Could you tell us about the five-point plan?
I got together with our senior managers and for a period of several weeks decided that we needed to have five anchor points. We needed to develop a strategic framework upon which all of the things that the commission would do in the context of the 21st century workplace would have to be addressed. The first point is proactive prevention. We must attempt to prevent discrimination from occurring in the first instance. It's almost like medicine, you know. You want to know, you want to screen out any potential illnesses before they become fatal, before they really truly affect and get to your core organs. Same thing with us. So proactive prevention is where we're spending a lot more resources than we had in the past. I added another 5% of our resources to making sure that we do outreach. We're doing web chats. We're doing technical assistance program seminars. Last year, I spent quite a bit of personal time meeting with senior executives all over the nation. It was an interesting, I'll just share a quick anecdote with you. When I call, and these were individuals that typically would not meet with the chair of EEOC, like chief marketing officers, chief information officers, financial officers, small business CEOs. When they got the call that the chair of EEOC wanted to meet with them, and when I met with them, they said, what did you think when you got that call? And they'd say, we were panic-stricken. We didn't know why you wanted to meet with us. I want to change that sense into one of curiosity. Well, maybe there's something there that we need to partner up with, not just to delegate it to the attorney or the human resources executive. So proactive prevention and all the related outreach efforts are key. If we can't prevent discrimination from taking place and we do get a charge, an allegation, then it's called point number two, proficient resolution. Let's try to address it as quickly as possible, as quickly and as cheaply as we can, so it doesn't languish and fester. And the third point is what I call the centerpiece of the five-point plan, and that's mediation. We have had tremendous success in mediation. The days that it takes on average about 171 days to resolve a charge. That is a dramatic drop from the year prior to last, it was 182 days. But I think the winner has been mediation. It takes us about 86 days to mediate a charge compared to 171 days. And last year, we settled more cases, more charges through mediation than ever before in the history. And this year, we're positioned to do even more. We're promoting universal agreements to mediate. We're encouraging employers to sign national agreements with us that says it's not required, but it says if a charge comes up, let's commit to take a look at it under the concept of mediation before we go into the investigative mode. So it's been a real success story, Commission, as well as for the employers. The fourth point in the five-point plan is the strategic enforcement and litigation. We want to make sure that our attorneys in the General Counsel's office, as well as our investigators in the day-to-day operations, work alongside of each other early on so that we don't delay processing of charges. Because once you refer it to the attorney, he or she will go, well, no, you need to go back and investigate this, that, and the other. So if they work alongside it early on in the development of the case, then the case can, you can either issue a right to sue letter if you think it's not going to be pursued by the commission, or you can take it on and litigate it. So that's a very important component. It's also a component under which we'll be looking at trends. We're looking at patterns. For example, we're seeing that most of the charges we're getting relate to retaliation, relate to harassment. There's a tremendous epidemic of harassment charges across the nation. And also to what constitutes a reasonable accommodation under the Americans with Disabilities Act. A lot of confusion as to what am I required to do in terms of providing that accommodation. I think if we can collect that information, develop guidelines like we have been, and then feed it back to the employers, that's an important contribution. And then the fifth point is what I say, practicing what we preach. It's EEOC as a model workplace. Let us have the best mediation program that we can have. Let us make sure that whatever we have before us is equally responsive to the expectations that we've placed on the employer community.
That's a good stopping point. We've got to go to a break. Come back after the break as we continue our discussion on management with Carrie Dominguez of the EEOC. This is the Business of Government Hour.